misinterpretation of 38 CFR 3.156A, and the second is that the Veterans Court denied a misinterpretation of 38 CFR 3.155A. In the first instance, the court addressed the regulation. In the second instance, the court did not address the regulation, even though the regulation had been submitted for consideration by the court below.
Isn't the question on the regulation 3.156A only an issue if the Form 9 was a request to reopen? In other words, is it the issue of whether new and material evidence has to be submitted at the same time? Only a question here if the Form 9 was deemed to be a request to reopen, because that took place before the new and material evidence.
And that's frankly the difficulty with the sort of symbiosis, if you will, of these two regulations, because in this case, the informal claim was the VA 9. And the informal claim is created by 3.155A, and that simply requires a writing and an expression of a belief in an entitlement to a benefit.
Then don't we get into the problem of analyzing questions of fact?
No, Your Honor, because the facts in this case are not disputed.
No, but the fact of whether the Form 9 was a proper request to reopen is...
That's a question of law, Your Honor. There is no VA form to reopen, notwithstanding the fact that Congress has required the Secretary to promulgate forms.
But there's English language which one can use to say, I wish to reopen. This was an appeal form.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And all it said was my husband's cause of death was due to a service in Vietnam.
And in response to that, the VA wrote her and explained to Mrs. Ager that she had filed that form untimely and that she had 1 year to submit new and material evidence. Within that one...
She did in 04, didn't she?
I beg your pardon?
She did in 04.
She did in 04.
And that's the date she got.
That's correct. And the question is whether or not when she submitted it, that met the threshold requirements of an informal claim under 3.155A, and but for the misinterpretation by the Veterans Court of 3.156A, requiring that the application be accompanied by the new and material evidence, the court would have reached that issue.
So we have to decide whether, under the regulation, reopening requires simultaneous submission of new evidence, or do we simply have to decide, and not decide, fact question of whether there was new material evidence submitted?
You do not have to decide the fact question. The fact question, however, we believe is an undisputed fact based upon this record in which...
The fact being that she did?
The fact that she submitted a writing that expressed an entitlement to a belief.
With new material evidence?
For an entitlement to a benefit. That's all that's required under 3.155A for an informal claim. The language of 3.155A further provides that the VA within 1 year will send a form. There is no form, but the VA did send her specific notice that she needed to submit new and material evidence, which she did. The question is that new and material evidence retroactive to the date of the VA's receipt of the VA 9?
155 deals with an informal claim.
That's correct.
156 deals with reopening, and it provides that a claimant may reopen by submitting NME. In other words, the act of reopening requires submission of NME simultaneously.
Oh, I beg to differ, Your Honor. Because in fact, in this case, when Mrs. Akers appealed the question of whether she had submitted new and material evidence, the board eventually found that she had, and that the VA had received new and material.
She had in 03 or in 04?
It's not relevant under a 3.156C or 5108 analysis. 5108, the statute, says that the VA must, if new and material evidence is presented or secured. So there is no timing element there. There is no discussion about it is presented at the time of the claim. This is to undo the finality of the claim that she was originally denied from the death of her husband in 2002, that she didn't timely complete the appeal. When she didn't timely complete the appeal, the VA put her on notice that we got your VA-9, but I'm sorry, ma'am, it's out of time. And therefore, you now have 1 year to submit new and material evidence, which she did. And eventually, the board found that she had and assigned the effective date based upon that finding of both new and material evidence and that the claim had been substantiated back to July of 2004. An issue here is a mere 10 months. The VA is quibbling over 10 months over whether or not this widow, who untimely filed to complete her appeal, is entitled to an effective date back to the date in which she untimely filed her VA-9.
You say a mere 10 months. Dates count. You can be 3 days late for certain filings and you're out of luck.
I beg to differ, Your Honor. This is supposed to be a pro-claimant, veteran-friendly system, particularly for the dependents of veterans, who are not supposed to be under some sort of microscopic consideration of timelines. Now, yes, there are discrete timelines, and she missed the discrete timeline. This case is not about attempting to get an effective date back to date of death in July of 2002, but merely September of 2003. And she is entitled to that under both of these regulations. The Veterans Court clearly misinterpreted 3.156A when it said it must be accompanied by. There's nothing in the language of the statute or the regulation that requires that. And they refused, did not, because of this misinterpretation, address the issue that was presented that the VA-9 was in fact an informal claim. It met all of the requirements of 3.155A. It was in writing. It expressed a belief of entitlement to a benefit. And the VA responded, and she timely responded. The only error that this widow made was not getting her VA-9 within 60 days of the time of the filing of the statement of case in May of 2003. And as a consequence, she is losing that benefit from date of death to September of 2003. There is no reason under the VA's regulations that she should lose the benefit of her informal claim, which the VA recognized and responded to in September of 2003. I'll reserve once there's further questions for the back.
Thank you, Mr. Kirby. Mr. Kirby.
Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The central issue in this case is whether the VA Form 9 and page 55 of the record displayed an intent to make a new claim for benefits.
Is that the issue, or is the issue whether when you file, let's call it a notice of appeal, a notice to reopen, in any other case, you don't file your entire body of evidence along with a notice of appeal. Why should this be different?
That is an interpretation that we have not taken in this case. The question isn't whether
you're saying you're not going to answer why it should be different.
No, but we're not arguing that it should be different. We're not arguing that in order to be a claim to reopen, one needs to append new and material evidence to a claim to reopen. But all roads in this case lead to the factual question under 38 CFR 3.155 about whether this document, this Form 9 from September 2003, was an informal claim to reopen. There's a factual inquiry that regulation requires, which is whether it displays an intent to make a claim for benefits.
So you're saying this pro se widow was entitled to understand the lawyer's distinction between a notice of appeal and a claim to reopen? A statement of concern?
This is not an instance of form over substance. In this case, the Board of Veterans' Appeals, which is the fact finder here,
you just told us it was a matter she used the wrong form.
It's not a matter that she used the wrong form. It should count for something that this the claimant here actually disclaimed at the hearing that that there was any documents that was a claim to reopen prior to the one that was actually granted. But the Veterans Court, the Board of Veterans Appeals and the VA here didn't stop there. The board went on to review the record to determine if there was anything in the record during the specific period we're talking about, the period from 2002 when her original claim was denied until 2004 when her new claim to reopen that was actually granted first came in, and said, is there anything in the record that we can look at under this statute and under this regulation, and discern an intent to reopen the claim? And the board made two explicit factual findings, which are at page 157 of the record. To be very clear, it's also perfectly clear from the board's decision, which is again the fact finder here, that it applied both of the regulations that Ms. Akers is arguing here correctly under the interpretations of those regulations that Ms. Akers urges. Those two factual findings are at page 157 of the record. The first is at the top of the page in the board's decision, where the board said that the appellant, that's Ms. Akers, did not submit a claim to reopen her previously disallowed claim until the instant claim to reopen was submitted in July 2004.
So the question isn't whether the VA-9 was a claim, but whether it was a claim to reopen.
She
already had a claim, which was denied.
The question is whether it was a second claim. There's no dispute in this case that there were two claims. There was an initial claim where Ms. Akers initially sought benefits, was not able to establish the connection, and ultimately did not file a timely appeal, and that claim became final. She then filed a second claim in July 2004 to reopen, and when she filed that second claim, in that case, did not submit the new and material evidence upon which her claim was ultimately granted until several years after that.
But it isn't a question whether the language in block 10 on the form 9 amounted to an informal request to reopen.
Yes, that is the question. And I hope to both answer your question and continue my thought by saying the issue in this case is whether the VA, having given Ms. Akers the most generous date possible for the date on which she filed her second claim, now needs to go even further back and treat this appeal as if it was the initiating document for the second claim rather than simply an untimely effort to appeal the first claim.
And that gets into fact questions.
And to answer both of Your Honor's questions, that's exactly what gets into fact questions, because the question about whether this document is an informal claim hinges on this determination under 38 CFR 3.155 about whether it evidences an intent to apply for benefits. And this court has repeatedly ruled, we've cited those cases at page 12 of our brief, 12 to 13, but particularly I would point your honor to the Warren case, where this court has very clearly said that the question of whether a document, this document, the Form 9, expresses an intent to apply for benefits is a factual question.
So what form should she have used?
There's no requirement that Ms. Akers should have used a particular form, but there is a requirement that she display an intent to apply for benefits. And here, the Form 9, whether or not it theoretically could have, one could have written something on the Form 9 that would have convinced the fact finder that it was indeed a claim to reopen, rather than simply an untimely effort to appeal the previous claim. That's not what happened here. And the board made explicit factual finding saying there is nothing in the record, in the middle of page 157, there is nothing in the record that evidences an intent during the relevant period, where this is really the only essentially substantive document involved. Saying there's nothing in the record that evidences an intent to apply for benefits.
What's in the record is the subsequent document entitled Statement in Support of Claim, as if there was already a claim, as if she thought there was already a claim. You're saying that should not be interpreted in her favor?
Two responses, Your Honor. The first is that question about whether these documents display an intent is again, a factual question over which the court doesn't have jurisdiction. But even if we were to take on that factual question, that document from July 2004, which is at pages 58 and 59 of the record, is what was ultimately deemed a claim to reopen, and it has a fairly extensive factual recitation, and it only supports the factual conclusion that the board reached here, because as we pointed out in our brief, it doesn't make any claim that I am continuing the claim I started in September 2003. It says I did all these things, none of which say I began this claim in September 2003, but says here is my claim to reopen and I'm attaching new and material evidence.
Now this is a very fine line here, and as Judge Newman points out, we've got a widow here. It's a very sympathetic situation, but your view, no doubt, is that Congress drew a line with respect to this court's review where factual questions are involved.
That's correct. And at the end of the day, all the VA can do is apply the law and regulation as written. Ms. Akers, in order to obtain benefits, Ms. Akers was required to file a claim to reopen her claim. There's no dispute in this case that her original claim became final. But she ultimately did do that. And even though it took her several years to supply the evidence necessary to have her claim granted, the VA related it back correctly. And that's another important point here. When we talk about whether the board misunderstood the new and material evidence statute, 38 CFR 3156, the board, in this case, again, the fact finder that made the fact that made the finding that there's nothing in the record evidencing an intent, also applied the same understanding of 3156 that Ms. Akers urges here. If you look at the last paragraph on page 157, the board, in this case, gave Ms. Akers the first date on which she filed her claim to reopen rather than the date on which she filed the new and material evidence that ultimately formed the basis for the grant of benefits. The point being, the board, in making the determination that there was no intent on the record prior to the date on which it was granted, prior to the July 2004 date on which that Ms. Akers was ultimately given, clearly had the correct understanding of how to apply Section 3156 relating to when one has to submit new and material evidence. Because it did in this case.
You're saying that there's no basis when she filed the claim in October 2003, when she filed the form, the only form that exists, that she really intended to ask for anything? She was just passing the time?
What the board determined was that she was attempting, unfortunately, in an untimely manner, to appeal the previous denial of her claim. And sometimes an untimely substantive appeal is just an untimely substantive appeal. The document, again, getting deep into the facts, says I'm seeking a hearing, which is in front of the board, which is connected with an appeal. It says I'm appealing my case. And I believe that my husband's death was service-connected. In other words, I disagree with the finding below. But the board ultimately determined that this document does not display an intent to apply for benefits. And in order to obtain an additional 10 months of benefits, Ms. Akers has to overcome that finding. But the board clearly made the finding here, and it was clearly relying on the correct interpretation of 3156, and with respect to the other statute, regulation 38 CFR 3155, it quoted the regulation in full, and then in making the finding, essentially parroted the language of the regulation. So this isn't a case where we're talking about form over substance. The board didn't just take Ms. Akers' word for it that she hadn't filed a claim to reopen prior to 2004. But it actually searched the record trying to see if there was anything that displayed an intent and determined that it didn't. And on that basis, having made those factual findings, either it is appropriate for this court to dismiss this appeal, because at its core, what Ms. Akers is asking is for this court to reopen or relitigate those core factual findings that the board made, or simply to affirm the board's decision as affirmed by the Veterans Court, that there was nothing in the record displaying an intent to apply for benefits such that Ms. Akers
would have been affirmed. Affirm that under our statute?
Well, I
guess I dismiss or affirm, but your argument is in favor of dismiss, so how can we affirm?
The way to affirm it would be that ruling that the board correct did not misinterpret Section 3156 or Section 3155 in making this essentially factual determination.
Sounds to me like application of law of fact.
Yeah, it does to me too, Your Honor, and that's why we believe that this case isn't within this court's jurisdiction.
Any more questions? Thank you, Mr. Gray.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Please, the court. I'm bewildered by the government's presentation here. The government talked almost exclusively about the factual determination by the board. What's before this court for review is the decision of the Veterans Court. I understood the government to suggest, at least by implication, if not by outright concession, that they concede that the Veterans Court misinterpreted 3.156A, because evidence does not have to accompany a claim to reopen. Now, Mrs. Akers, before the Veterans Court, presented the factual questions that the government wanted to argue before this court. But the Veterans Court ducked that issue because of their misinterpretation of 3.156A. The Veterans Court decision does not address 3.155A. It does not make any of the factual determinations necessary, because it concluded that it couldn't be, as a matter of law, an informal claim because it wasn't new and material evidence it didn't meet the criteria under 3.156A, because the evidence needed to accompany that application in September of 2003. That is a misinterpretation of the regulation. That fact has been at least implicitly conceded by the government in this appeal. If this court is going to if this court disagrees that the facts in this case are in fact undisputed in this record, then this court must remand for the court to address the argument presented by Mrs. Akers of whether or not the VA-9 did or did not arise to a informal claim under 3155A. Because
didn't the board decide that the appellant did not submit a claim to reopen when she filed a form of?
That's precisely what, but the Veterans Court did not reach that issue, because the Veterans Court said that VA-9 did not have accompanied with it new and material evidence, and therefore she could not gain the benefit of 3.155A because she didn't meet the requirements of 3156A.
So that's your question of law.
That is the question of law that is presented in this case. That's the first question. The question in the alternative is the interpretation 3155A, which this court may reach under Linville, because the Veterans Court did not. Or this court may choose to say, we find these facts are in dispute, and therefore we remand based upon misinterpretation of 3156A for the court to address the question of how these facts apply to 3155A, and then we can come back here and determine whether or not the Veterans Court did or did not correctly apply 3155A. Unless there's further questions from the panel.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter.
Thank you very much,
Chairman. Please take it under submission.